Hey guys, welcome to Our City Church. We are so glad you are here. If you're looking for some good sermons and great words of encouragement, you have come to the right place. And while you're here, go ahead and like, comment, and subscribe, and share this with all your loved ones if you want them to be encouraged as well. Now, let's join this week's sermon in progress.
But as I look over this room, I don't know where you are in your motherhood journey. As Mindy said, I believe we all carry that heart, that nurturing heart. I don't know if you are a mother, a spiritual mother, a foster mom, an adoptive mom, maybe a grieving mom. I'm unsure of that, but I know God knows. I don't know the room. God knows each of you very intimately. But one thing I do know for me personally is that we're all daughters. We're God's daughters. And because of that, we have all that we need. So if you're taking notes today, I don't know if you have a phone you wanted to pull out or if you brought a journal or if you didn't, that's okay. This message that I'm bringing is called, I have all that I need. This is my inheritance. I have all that I need. This is my inheritance. I'm going to pray. God, just as I said, I don't know the room. I don't know every person that's sitting in the seats, but it's no surprise to you that they're here. You went before them and made a way for them to be here. So because of that, and because your word is going to be spoken, I believe that you have something you want to say to each of us individually. I don't know how you do it, Holy Spirit, but you can take the words that are coming out of my mouth, and as I speak your word, you can communicate it to them the way that they need it and what they need. So I pray, Lord, that each person in the room some way, somehow would feel so seen and known by you in this moment, that you would minister to their hearts deeply. God, as moms, as daughters, we are continually looking to the needs of others. And in your word, you promise that he who refreshes, will he himself be refreshed. So I pray a sweet refreshing over them today as they kick off Mother's Day weekend here. They chose to be here to get closer to you, to get closer to one another, and that pleases your heart. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I can remember back in 2015 when I was pregnant with Summer Kate. The closer we got to the due date, the more my mind began to wonder. I began thinking, wow, this is forever. What a gift that is, but I was just like, I had wild thoughts, like, what if I mess this sweet baby up? Like, I'm responsible, I'm the mom. And then on November 10th, 2015, Summer Kate came into the world, and she completely rocked my world from the beginning. Everything changed. The night that I had her, some unexpected things happened, some unexpected things we could have never planned for. I ended up in an unexpected C-section, and not too long after having the C-section, I found myself in a secondary surgery where they were trying to save my life, which, as you all know, with me standing here, was successful. But on that night, on the surface, it really did look like life was almost taken from me. But truly, for me, it gave me such a gift. It gave me a new outlook on life. It gave me the perspective of what really matters in this life and the things that don't matter. The only reason I share all of that with you is not to scare you or anything like that, but sometimes God will truly give us more than we can handle so that he can show us that he's truly all we need. The scripture that he says where his power is made perfect in our weakness is a promise, and it's true. I have found it to be true in my own life time and time again. And motherhood especially has a way of making that truth be a reality and very known. And the surrendering of the details, we surrender anxiety and cares to him, knowing that he is directing our steps in life and in motherhood. But I've also learned in motherhood that there are all kinds of moms. And even recently, I've learned that not only are there type A moms and type B moms, now there's a type C mom. Have y'all seen that? I actually looked up common types of moms or parenting styles, and here's what Google gave me. Are you ready? I didn't know there were so many. Okay, I'm not saying any of us are any of these things. We can't be boxed in, okay, lady? This is just what Google says, not me. Okay, so common parenting styles, moms. There is the helicopter mom. Heavily involved in their child's life, hovering to prevent danger and micromanaging daily tasks. I'm not going to ask who's who in here, okay? This is a new one. I've never heard this one. A snowplow or a lawnmower mom. Has anyone ever heard that one? I hadn't heard it. It's similar to helicopter moms, but they focus on proactively removing obstacles from their child's path to prevent struggle. Move the obstacles. Then we have a free-range mom. She encourages independence, trusting children to explore and manage their situations on their own. Then we have the tiger mom. She's demanding, she's strict, she's highly ambitious, and she focuses on academic or extracurricular success. Then we have the authoritative slash gentle mom. She sets clear boundaries while being responsive and nurturing. Then we have the permissive mom, lax and lenient, adopting a friend role rather than a disciplinarian one. Well, then we have the crunchy mom. She's environmentally conscious, preferring organic food, cloth diapers, and natural remedies. Then we have, I hadn't heard this one, a silky mom. She embraces modern convenience, including screen time, disposable diapers, and standard medicine. Then we have a scrunchy mom. I've never heard this, a scrunchy mom. She's a mix of both. She takes the best of crunchy and silky approaches. Then we have the almond mom. She's associated with the wellness culture, sometimes promoting strict diets or restrictive food habits. Then we have the hot mess type C mom. She's relatable and chaotic, often focusing on good enough parenting. Where the kids are safe and loved, even if the house is a mess, or your car. Then we have the soccer slash hockey mom. She's dedicated to driving kids to practices, games, and managing busy extracurricular schedules. It also put in parentheses a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, so I think that that like puts them all together. The soccer mom is well-rounded. So then we have a panda mom. She combines nurturing care with firm discipline, often seen as a balance between the tiger and free-range style. And then we have, last but not least, the cool mom. She focuses on being friends with their children and their friends, prioritizing fun. Okay, I'm not saying we are any of those, ladies, but I mean, y'all did laugh really hard at the type C mom. And I'm not saying which type of mom I am, because I won't let them box me in, and then that might be telling me what kind of mom I am. All jokes aside, no wonder motherhood can feel a little overwhelming whenever there are so many out there that are so quick to want to put a label on the kind of moms we are. And social media being so loud about where we might be missing it. But I'm here to tell you what I know. And that is this: as daughters of the King, our only responsibility is that we show up as obedient daughters to our Heavenly Father, and that place flows directly into how we show up as mothers. It takes all the pressure off, and who cares what other people say when we know we're being obedient to our God? I'm going to say it again: as daughters to the King, our only responsibility is that we show up as obedient daughters to our Heavenly Father. And from that place, that flows directly into how we show up as mothers. Listen, parenting experts could likely look at my parenting and tell me all the ways I'm missing it, or all the ways I'm doing it wrong, pointing to lack in me. But that's not the case with God. God tells me I have all that I need for the blessings He has entrusted to me. Listen, guys, I hope this makes you feel better. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was chosen for that job. Can you even imagine being mama to your Savior? But look, Mary lost Jesus. She lost him in the temple. Guys, I think that takes the pressure off. Mary lost Jesus. She wasn't that was God. She left him behind and didn't even know until a few days later. He's still in there teaching. Guys, perfection is not the goal here. Mama's obedience to God is. Mary was obedient. She said to the angel, "Let it be in me according to what you say," whenever he said, "You're going to birth your Savior." She said, "Let it be in me." So as you say yes to the call of motherhood, you say, "Let it be in me according to you say what you say." You've entrusted these blessings to me, and now I'm going to be obedient to you and how you tell me to parent these blessings. And that takes the pressures from the world off of you. In obedience to God, we are reminded that we have all that we need. And that as daughters of God, that is our inheritance. I know what my Heavenly Father says about me because I spend time with him. I spend time in this. And because as his daughter, I know who I am, I'm so very, very passionate about telling my daughters and my son who they are before the world gets to them and tries to give them their identity, because the world will. I want them to know so deeply who they are that they will boldly denounce any lies the world offers them. Summer Kate, will you come up here real quick? Before Summer was born, no, before she could hardly speak, which wasn't very long because she came out of the womb giving like full sentences, we began declarations. And nobody had ever done this with me. It was just the Holy Spirit prompted it in me. So we just started. Since I have her with me, I thought it would be cool if we did part of our prayer that we do at night. Don't feel like you have to come up with something that's grand or like crazy. We say the same prayer. Well, you've probably said it how many times? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. But it's in her heart. You want to get things in their hearts that they can just go back to so quickly. So at night, when Summer and I are together, we'll do something like this. Okay. Jesus, I thank you for Summer Kate. I love her so much, but you love her
even more.
I thank you that there are mighty angels
all around us.
I thank you, God, that we are going to tell the whole world
about you.
If anyone can do it,
it's us.
Yes. Yeah, so we do something like that almost every night. And then from the time that she was itty, itty, bitty, like two, she started going to K2 to school, and we would do something like this.
I am
brave.
I am
bold.
I am
strong.
I am
courageous.
I am
kind.
I am a
good friend.
And
good friends find me.
I make
rooms better.
I'm a
leader.
I'm a
influencer.
And we do things like that every day, and it has trickled into our littles. You can go ahead and sit down, baby. This has naturally flowed into our other three littles, each one a little bit specific because each kid is so unique. I have twins, but they are so different, it keeps things exciting. And like I said, nobody taught me to do that. That's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to be so intimate in our parenting because he knows what our kids need more than we do. And that takes the pressure off. We don't have to have it all together. He wants to be involved in your day-to-day life, your day-to-day activities, because he knows what our kids need more than we do. So no matter where or what my kids do in life, somewhere deep inside them, there will be an inner voice that was inspired by Holy Spirit to remind them who they are. And when others try to tell them or box them into someone or something else, I will have to trust that the good work that God started in them, that he will see it to completion. I'm raising them up in the way they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart. And while I don't know what kind of earthly treasures my kids will inherit from me one day, my girls are already asking for the ring. Who gets the ring? I do know part of their inheritance are words from their mama. This is their inheritance that will not fade away. So I pass it down. It was already given to me from God because he's told me who I am. So it's my inheritance to pass it down because it's their inheritance. I know what he says, so why would I tell them anything different? His voice is my inner voice, and I believe that Holy Spirit through me can become their inner voice. We have the opportunity to carry on the family business and speaking life over our babies. I know I sound like a broken record so far, but as I prepared for this weekend, I could not help but come back to this thought. Who we are as daughters shapes everything about how we mother. And that means if you're not a mother in the room currently, but one day have the desire to be, lean into being a daughter to the King. Because we are daughters of God, and we don't mother from emptiness or from striving or from pressure, but instead we mother from a place of overflow. And as we mother, we have this amazing opportunity to raise up our legacy. And this starts with who we are, not by what we do. But with that, who we are does shape what we do. So, which leads me to some of my points. Number one, I have all that I need as I guard my home. I have all that I need as I guard my home. Can you say that with me? I have. And I didn't think about this as I was preparing the message, but now I'm thinking about it. We are the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. So we guard this home too. Proverbs 14:1 says this, "A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." A wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands. It takes intentionality, and it's an active tense of building your home and creating the atmosphere of your home. I want to go over what the word guardian even means, because I believe as ladies, we are the guardians of our homes. A guardian is someone or something that guards. And to guard means to protect from danger, especially by watchful attention, to make secure, to stand at the entrance of as if on guard or as a barrier, to tend to carefully. Does that not sound like a mother? I have all I need to be the guardian of my home because God has done the heavy lifting. As we surrender to God, he reminds us of what goes and what doesn't go in our homes. And it might not look like your friend's home. What you allow in your home might not look like your friend's home, but this is our home and this is what we do. I've heard it said this way, our homes and our families, that is our jurisdiction. Jurisdiction refers to legal authority and power. It defines the geographical area of a specific subject matter over which the authority is exercised. And you, ladies, have been given authority to declare what God says over your families and your homes. This is your inheritance as a daughter of God, and you have everything you need to do this. It's found in here. It's found in here. Let's have some story time. We're sisters at this point because you are with my bestie. So let's just chat. For those of you who don't know, you kind of know by now we planted a church, and I love people. I'm the one that you have to drag. John's like, please don't let Shauna get in the hallway before countdown. Like, don't keep her close. Keep her close. Get her back there so we can welcome, because I will just start talking. I love people. That's why we met in the bathroom. Well, one day, early in our church planning days, John and I would have people in our home all the time. We would have dinner meetings, and we would just let almost anybody in our home. Well, one particular time, we had somebody over that was involved in leading a certain thing or parts of church, and she was just sharing with us some of the things she was going through. And my sweet husband, as we were wrapping up the conversation, opened the floor back up once the conversation was over and said, "So you want give some feedback about Voyage Church?" And well, she had some input, and I'll never forget it. We were sitting on the love seat. Do we still call it love seat? The small couch? So we were close. And John was sitting on the other chair on the other side of the living room, and Summer Kate was laying on the couch right here. And we're just hanging out. It's very casual. And anyways, without hesitation, she said, "Well, actually, yeah, there is one thing I don't agree with." And John's like, "Oh, what is it?" Open floor. He's like, "Women in leadership," also known as me. And it was that moment I realized, because that was so foreign to my daughter, because she has a call on her life. My daughter's going to travel the world, I believe, and tell the good news of Jesus. Every time I would wash my kids' feet at night, I say, "What kind of feet are these?" And they'll say, "They're good news feet." And I'm like, "What are good news feet?" "We tell the world about Jesus." It's much cuter from them and their toddler voices. So for Summer, that was just like, what? And I realized in that moment, I have a responsibility as a daughter of God and as a mother to my kids and the mother of my home to guard it. And while I can't control all the things, my four walls, I can do all that I can in my strength to build the walls. What does it say in Proverbs 14:1? It says, a wise woman builds her home. And that includes the way I build my home with my words and what others bring into my home. That's my jurisdiction. So I do all I can in my own strength to protect. Some people would look at that and be like, oh, it doesn't matter. It matters because that doesn't go in our home. So in that moment, there were no hard feelings towards her, truly. I would give her a hug right now, love her. But things change in how and where John and I have meetings. And because it's our job to make changes where changes are needed. And your context may be different, but you still have a home, you still have a family, and it's your responsibility to stay attentive, to stay alert, to stay on guard. I wrote in my Bible something from a lady named Kathy Miller before, and it's this, and I've never forgotten. Do not let people steal the peace in your home. Do not let other people steal the peace in your home. Do not give others that power. Make it your life's goal to keep and make peace within your home. If that feels impossible, just know you serve the God who specializes in impossibilities. Guard the peace. Listen, several years ago, I read a book, and I think it was just for this one part about peacemakers, peace breakers, and peace fakers. The other two options might be easy, but it's not true peace. Peacemakers, peace breakers, and peace fakers. I know I have been guilty of being all three, but making peace is a hard work, but it's worth it. We guard our home, and like I said, this is an active work. We remind our families who we are. I remind my kids all the time, because kids are just kids. This is who we are. This is what we do. We worship. We pray, not because we're putting on a show, but worship and prayer moves the heart of God, and that's what we're about. So when we worship and pray on a Sunday, it's only from a place of overflow and identity. I tell my babies, hey, let me remind you, this is how we talk when I hear them talking to each other in a certain kind of way, anybody. Hey, let me remind you, you and your siblings are best friends, and that's not how best friends act. Let me remind you how best friends act. It's work, but it's a holy work, and that holy work will get into the very fiber of their being. I didn't tell Summer to pray over Pastor Mindy up here. It's just part of who she is now. When I go up to we have three services now at church, and the third service, we don't have kids ministry. So guess where they are? They're at my hip, and we're at the altar together. I don't tell them to come to the altar with me, but they're watching what I'm doing, and they're catching it. So when I'm laying hands and I'm praying, they're laying hands and praying like it's just second nature because it is their nature. So we are the guardians of our home, ladies, and we have all that we need. Number two, I have a sound mind. Can you say that with me? I have a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. The New King James Version says it this way. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I love that scripture. And I was listening to Sound Mind. Does anyone like that worship song, Sound Mind? This is my inheritance. That's where this whole message was birthed from when I was traveling. And the song came on and I said, that was it for the Mother's Day tea. A sound mind is our inheritance. There's a lot of sound in the world today that's working overtime to steal your peace, to steal your sound mind, to instill fear. So that I have to remind you that you have to remind your mind that it's sound. You have a sound mind. If you're mothering from a sound mind because that's your inheritance. That's what God has given you. God has given you a sound mind. And if you feel like you don't have it, let me remind you of a caterpillar. Look, there's butterflies all around, but they started as a caterpillar. The butterflies are beautiful, Mindy. I love it, and it's special to me, and you know why. But they didn't always look like this beautiful butterfly. They didn't. They used to have an old identity. But everything that you see in a butterfly was lying dormant in the caterpillar. So I just want to remind you, ladies, if you guys feel like you haven't had a sound mind lately, it's in you as a daughter. It might be dormant right now, but I believe that even in a day, especially in a day like today, in a room full of faith, in a room full of women, you can walk out declaring not only in faith that you have a sound mind, but actually have a sound mind. I believe that with all that's in me, because that was what God had for me to just anchor this whole message with, is that sound mind is your inheritance. A sound mind is your inheritance. Okay, which leads me to the next thing. Number three, I am a woman who rests. I am a woman who rests. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. I'm actually going to open my Bible. Before we get to Hebrews 4, 9, I want to say that in Hebrews 3, 19, it says, so we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. I want to communicate to you today that rest equals trust. When we're able to rest, we're saying, God, I trust you. Not resting will eventually lead to disobedience. So let's start. Hebrews 4, 9. I'm going to go through 11. I know they have just a 10. So there is a special rest still waiting for the people of God. For all who have entered into God's rest have rested from their labors, just as God did creating the world. So let us do our best to enter that rest. In one translation, it says, make every effort to enter into the rest. Make every effort. But if we disobey God as the people of Israel did, we will fall. I want to keep going. This scripture is just so good. It says, for the word of God is alive and powerful. I wonder why when they're talking about rest, it goes straight into the word of God is alive and powerful. It makes me think that we need the word to rest. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And then he is the one to whom we are accountable. Ladies, you're not accountable to the other moms that you might be comparing yourself to. You're accountable to God and God alone. And God cares intimately about you as a mother. He cares intimately because you're his daughter. And he wants you to enter the rest, and the rest is for you, even if you feel like it's not possible. And for us, it might seem like rest is just one more thing to do, but it's something we just enter into. Alina was laughing at me last night because I was seriously getting into watching the videos of caterpillars and butterflies, like really into them. But I was watching one of the caterpillar and the chrysalis, and if you didn't know, they turn into soup. Did we know this, guys, that the caterpillar turns into like the soup before they turn into butterflies? I didn't either. I learned it last night. but as I was watching those educational videos, something the person said was so good. So you see, the caterpillars eat and eat and eat and eat. Relatable. And then they anchor themselves to the wherever they anchor themselves as they prepare for this grand transformation. And I liken the in-between between being a caterpillar and the butterfly to rest, like when that moment when they're between becoming the butterfly and they're just anchored and they're resting. And in that rest, God's doing a work that only he can do. So the caterpillar couldn't do it. The caterpillar couldn't be like, I'm a butterfly, and then I'm a butterfly. It just had to rest and trust in the work that God was doing that only he could do. And God chose this to happen in the rest, in rest. I believe that God can only do certain things when we enter into his rest and say, I trust you. And he's got it. Ladies, in the resting, you are becoming who you were already made to be in him. The butterfly was already there. It was just dormant. And so in the rest, the caterpillar transforms into this beautiful butterfly. But this is the quote from the video I watched last night. The caterpillar's old identity, this is what she said, and it's so good, is rolled up like an old sock and thrown out. rolled up like an old sock and thrown out. To me, it just reminded me that that old identity, the old way of doing things that wasn't working anymore to become what it was made to be, it had to roll up the old identity like an old sock and throw it out. So ladies, I don't know what you've walked in currently before you stepped into this room, but what I know is that you can roll up your old identity like a sock and throw it off and become all that God's called you to be. Everything you need is already there. Like I said, it might have just been dormant, but everything you need, God's put on the inside of you. It's this new life in Christ. When you say yes to Jesus, he gives you new life. The old has gone, behold, the new has come. Just like a caterpillar going from its old identity to its new identity, that's your inheritance. Rest is my inheritance, and I have all that I need. You know, as a church, and I think you guys do it too, we take 4 Sundays a year where we don't gather. And a lot of people are like, oh, you're a mobile church. That makes sense to take time off on a Sunday for a break. I'm like, this isn't a break. We're in our homes. We're worshiping. We're in the Word. We're choosing to rest and trust because God called us to do the thing. And so if anything, it's a choosing to trust. Rest equals trust. All right, so number 4, I love this one. I have overflowing peace and joy. I have overflowing peace and joy. In Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9, it says this, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Pastor Mindy, you do that so well. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Say, don't worry. Be happy. I love that song. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for what he's already done. Then you will experience God's peace. Say then. There's something that happens and then. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It's not ours. Like, it is a gift. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. Then the God of peace. There's a work to be done. It's true. We have to think about what we're thinking about. Has anyone thought about what you're thinking about? It'll make you go a little crazy. But when we think on these things that God has told us to think on, then we'll be guarded by peace. It's so easy, especially as moms, to think about worst case scenario. Have you ever been there? I have. But this scripture reminds me of the key that unlocks joy and peace. It's fixing our eyes and our thoughts on what God says and what to think about. I love, one of my favorite things is disrupting the system, what the world says has to be true, that we have to be anxious as moms. We don't. Meaning that when chaos abounds in our homes at times, because chaos be abounding, we choose to operate in overflowing peace and joy. It's a choice. It is a choice. I remember one time the twins were itty bitty. Like Rivie at one point was 4 pounds and Coastline was 5 pounds and Canyon was 1. And Summer, you were the angel that you always are. But somebody, I had ordered some food and she came and brought it to our house. And I just texted her, hey, I unlocked the door. Come on in. And when she came in, all 3 babies were crying. I'm like locked on the couch, trapped by the 3 babies, said 3 babies. And she just looked at me and she said, are you okay? And I looked up like, what, this isn't normal? I said, you just caught me in a big wave. Has anyone ever got caught in a big wave at the beach? It is crazy. Like sometimes you're getting up and you're like, am I covered? Like it's just chaotic. It tosses you all over the place. You have no control, but usually you're standing up laughing, even when you're caught up in the waves. But eventually, for all of you that's been at the beach, like eventually it gets calm again. And I said, you just caught me in a big wave. I tell our team sometimes, right now you're in a double red flag day, but it'll be green again. Green flag means smooth. You can go swim in it like a swimming pool. But right now, I wasn't in a green flag day. I was in a double red. And I said, even when it's chaotic like that, you can have overflowing peace and joy, no matter what. And even if you feel like you don't, guess what? She walked in and now you're my helpline. You're my lifeguard. Throw me a buoy. I need some help. Because look around, ladies, you're not on this journey alone. You're sitting at a table and those people are your lifeguards and y'all are meant to go and receive help from them. And as a lady, I know sometimes you can feel vulnerable or weak asking for help, but we were made to do it. Something comes alive on the inside of me when I get to help a friend. Like last night, I found it pure joy to be able to come here because you sometimes take for granted what's right in front of you. Mindy, you have such a gift. I wish I could just be here all the time. I'm trying to steal her from me. I'm just kidding. Stay. But like being able to come in here and just help serve the ladies of this house, inside of you. Something's alive because you get to help one another. So help each other, ladies. So yes, no matter what, you can have peace and joy, which leads me to our last point, which is one of my very favorite verses. Number 5, I can live carefree because God is most careful with me. I can live carefree because God is most careful with me. I'm going to tell you, Summer didn't know we were booking this trip when we booked this trip. But guess what? She can live carefree because I'm taking care of the details. I've gone before her. I've booked the ticket. I've picked her seat. She packed her own bags, though, because I think she's a little bit of the type A, right? she didn't get that from me. And then, but she can live carefree because she's my baby. I'm most careful with her. And God is that same parent to you. He's most careful with you. Even if it feels like he's not, he is. So 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 in the Message says this. So be content with who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who God's called you to be. It's beautiful. And don't put on airs. God's strong hand is on you, and he will promote you at the right time. Live carefree before God. He is most careful with you. The NLT says it this way. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries, say all, and cares to God, for he cares about you. He cares about you. Sometimes I'd just be talking, like, God, I don't understand. Why did this happen? I trust you, but I have some questions. He can handle it. Have you ever been angry with God? He can even handle that. He's a big God and he can handle it. He knows it all anyways. So God cares for you. He cares about every single detail of your life. And because of that, you can live carefree. I was joking about Summer because my Summer girl is the question queen. She's got, what time is it? What time is it now? Where are we going to eat? How far away is the church? Where are we going after the church? What time is our flight? What time is this? She's carefree, but she's got questions. Do you get what I'm saying? So as daughters of God, we can be carefree and still have questions. I don't always have an answer for them, do I, baby? But it doesn't stop her from asking. So sometimes God might seem silent. It's just not time to answer. So it's the same for us, ladies, with our Heavenly Father. We can live carefree because he's most careful with us. And then that translates into how we mother. God's word says that we can make our plans, but the Lord directs our steps. So as mothers, we can make all the plans we want, but the Lord is directing each one of your steps, and that gives me so much peace. Does it give you peace? That we do our part and he does his. Sometimes it's hard to trust that reality, but it doesn't change the truth of it. God is trustworthy. Sometimes I just need to look back and remember. He has a really, really good track record. That even at times that felt like, where are you in this? I trust that his promise is that he's working all things together for the good, according to those that love him and are called to his purpose. I trust that. So in closing, I look around at all of you beautiful ladies. Y'all are so pretty. And these beautiful butterflies, everything you need as a mother is on the inside of you. God has equipped you for this good and holy work. And what I love about this room is that you don't have to do it alone, like I said earlier. He's with you. He's for you. The identity in the caterpillar was already there before the transformation was visible. So if you look around and you're like, they just don't know what's in me, it's okay. Just trust that God's got you. So maybe you're thinking to yourself, I'm not where I want to be as a mother. Same girl. Well, first give yourself grace. You are likely doing better than you think you are. And then secondly, just know it's in you. And no matter what, God's grace truly is sufficient. I believe we do the best we can and then God's grace. This past year, my family has given me grace upon grace upon grace upon grace as I've navigated the grief of losing a best friend, my brother. He passed away this past summer. And I'm gonna be honest, I didn't realize that at times, grief can impact your memory. Did you know it? So Mindy had asked me back in February to speak, and sure enough, I looked back at the text. She told me there was butterflies, but I didn't even remember. And last night, the night before last, we came in here, and on those screens, the monarch butterflies were just flowing on the screen. Do y'all have that? But anyways, let me tell you how God is in the details, that you make your plans and God directs your steps. And God likes to be in the details because he knows that us ladies, we're in the details. So if he can show you that he's in the details of your life, it makes you feel seen, known, and loved because you are. And so he delights in the details because he delights in you. Does that make sense? He loves you. He loves you so much. But it blows me away every time. I'm like, how are you doing this for me? And I know you're doing it for the room full of them. But yes, I made a post on social media this past week, and it was this. I'm just going to share it how I wrote it. And it has to do with these butterflies. So I said this. Yesterday, I shared a reel on my stories about micro joys getting you through macro grief. I believe it's a way that God says, I see you, and I'm here. That reel instantly made me think of this clip, the clip that I had shared on the social medias from last July. It was days before my brother had passed away. I'm holding my phone in the video, and on the screen, I didn't know it on my phone just yet, but it was a text message saying that Shane would be transferred to hospice. That's my brother. Isn't it like God to let a butterfly linger, bringing pure joy while knowing my heart was about to shatter? Almost like a warm hug when you need it most. God is close to the brokenhearted, and that is a promise he keeps. I don't know what you're going through, but all I know is that God is still faithful and good, even when, especially when, life hardships come. Joy and grief can coexist. Grief is not weakness. It's a sign of life and love lived in strength, because loving hard is a life fully lived. Life after loss keeps going, and that's no disrespect to those that have gone ahead, but an opportunity to honor their lives and legacy in living in full surrender to the Lord with purpose and great intention. My brother's life continues to push me to live bravely and fully. I am continually putting myself into situations like this one that are fully outside of my comfort zone because he sure enough had to do it. So wherever you are in life, ladies, God sees you. He loves you. He loves you so much, right where you are. He might love you too much to let you stay there, but he loves you right where you are. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you, even when, especially when it's hard. And I write messages with like dash dash, and ChatGPT also does that. So I just let the world know, no, this isn't ChatGPT. I used the dashes before AI came along. Okay. So that was the post. And I don't share that to bring the mood down. I promise I don't. I don't like to be a Debbie Downer. But I wanted to remind you, ladies, that you can remember what was while continuing to press forward like the butterfly. Because when I was doing that deep dive on the caterpillars yesterday, this was so interesting to me. So they anchor themselves, they get in the chrysalis, they turn into soup. That's weird, but that's what they do. But some way, somehow, part of their nervous system and something with their brain stays intact. And so they still have some memories. How they test this, I don't know. But they still have some memories of their caterpillar days. But guess what? Isn't that interesting? That's just crazy to me. But maybe I'm thinking into it too much, but I thought of it this way. It's okay to remember, but we can't go back. Our option is moving forward freely like the butterfly, while we rest in the work that God is doing. So just as the butterfly doesn't strive in the work of becoming a butterfly, maybe we weren't meant to ever strive as mothers, but just rest in the work that God's already done. You're already a phenomenal mom. It's on the inside of you. The responsibility is getting to know Him better, and in getting to know Him better, you will get to know yourself better and discover all along the type of mother you're called to be. Not the type that the world boxes us in to be, but in who God has called us to be. We have all that we need. This is our inheritance from the Lord, and He's given it to you. Amen? Amen. It's in you.
Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you are encouraged. If you are looking for more information, please visit ourcitychurch.online. We love you. We're praying for you. We'll see you soon.